Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Bring me some chocolate pudding.
Jaguars Monday starts right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Monday. Glad you're with us. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli here in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco on the line down in South Florida at CBS Sports.
Is Pete here?
Yeah, they're working on getting Pete.
Oh, shucks. I was hoping we're going to be Pete free.
We're Pete free for right now.
Oh, outstanding. Let's talk. Let's go, J.P.
The Baselli and Shadrick show. We'll get to your calls coming up in the second hour. We'll recap the Jags' win on Thursday Night Football over the Titans and a weekend to relax for the Jags. Players were not practicing today, some conditioning today, and weight room and all that off to the side. They're back on the field tomorrow and Wednesday, and then Thursday off. The team is back again Friday, and then a normal Sunday. I think Pete's with us now. What's up, Pete?
Yeah, by phone. Oh, we got a technical issue today.
Okay, well,
so far.
We're glad to have you.
Though. So is it going to be phone the entire night?
I hope not.
They're working on it.
They're working on it. It's on your end, so hopefully it'll be remedied.
Good job, Joe.
Way to go.
It's not Joe. It's not Joe.
It's Pete. I blame Pete.
Don't blame me. It's neither one of us. It's somewhere else. I don't know. But look, we'll fix it. We'll get it going. We can still have a show. I can still berate Baselli and call him Captain Sunshine and everything else.
It was good seeing you in the press box on Thursday night.
Yeah, it was the first game I've been to all year. It was unbelievable. And you know what? Every single time I went back and forth that hallway, I saw Baselli by the chocolate fountain.
I couldn't stop. It was like crack. I could not stop. I'm not sure what crack's like.
You had everything, Tony.
Oh, I did. I did not have everything. I stuck to the coconut marshmallows and the peanut butter covered chocolates under the little waterfall of chocolate. Mm-hmm. Peterbilt does a great job.
Peterbrook.
They do.
Them too. Peterbrook.
Peterbilt is like
Peterbilt's a trucking company. Yes. Yeah. Peterbrook does an outstanding job. I look forward to it. I would like to lobby Dan Edwards, Mr. Mark Lamping, whoever else makes those decisions, to have that there every game.
One down here, too, would be nice.
Well, and, you know, the next game it'll be there, it'll be the playoff game.
I like that.
When we're hosting.
Good call.
Yeah, of course. Tony, I was afraid somebody would walk by there and like accidentally stick their fingers in that chocolate and you would gnaw them off.
I thought about like putting my face underneath and just letting the chocolate just drip into my mouth.
Just pour over you.
I'm telling you, I love night games. I love, you know, the national games, Thursday night games here, Monday night, Sunday night. We haven't had Sunday night forever, but whatever night game is, because it's fun. Everbank Field's fun under the lights. It's a good crowd. Just a little bit extra juice in the building, and then you get the Peterbrook chocolate fountain. Mm.
The Jaguars had all three phases contribute towards the end of that game. The defensive stop on third down, a half a yard short to get the ball back. The punt return by Rashad Green to get him deep in the red zone. And then the next play, the touchdown pass to Julius Thomas.
Well, let's start with the defense.
Great day.
The defense the last several weeks has played at a high level. They're dominant against the run. I mean, they really are. I mean, Pete, you watch a lot of football around the league. You watch more than any of us. They're a dominant run defense right now.
Really good. And which is the mystifying part of it, because they're so good against the run, and Roy Miller is really good. That
I've been saying that for the entire year.
You'd think that would translate to more pressure. But it doesn't. You know, you play the run that well, you would think, Tony, would translate to getting after the quarterback and put him in passing situations, but it doesn't. But you're right. They're really good against the run.
And they don't have is that quick twitch guy. Like, you know, it's the quick guy, the first step, Pete. You know what I'm talking about. You know, it's the, I can't even think of the kid, the three technique for Tennessee, we've played him, the USC kid.
Oh, Jarrell Casey.
There's not a Casey or an Atkins.
Keto Atkins or, yeah.
You know, there's that's what makes J.J. Watt so great is that first step. He's so explosive. And we don't have that guy inside or outside. And if you don't have that guy, it's hard to rush the passer. I thought they rushed passer better. They got some pressure. I love what Bob Babbage is doing blitz-wise. They're getting after it. And they're playing the run great. It's good team defense right now is what they're playing. They don't have one guy who's dominant at this point, but they're playing great team defense. And against the run, they do. I mean, that front four, Jared Odrick was outstanding. Roy Miller, outstanding. Avery Jones coming off the bench, outstanding. I mean, they played at a high level on Thursday night.
Yeah, and also, you know, I think guys like Cyprian are starting to get a little more.
Well, Sips played, yeah. Sips played really well. And he actually played better.
Antonio had been play well and then tail off and then play well and tail off. And now I think he's starting to string together some good games.
Yeah, I think that's three in a row probably. And made a play on the ball. Came up and tackled very well. He's so physical around the line of scrimmage. You know, listen, when you're number one in the league in yard per rush and you're top, what are they, six or seven in overall yards per game as far as rushing, I mean, you got a good scheme. They're well coached. They play very hard, and they're tough. They're not good pass rushers. That's just what it is right now.
That's the Dante Fowler. That's what they expected from him. He was fourth quarter, hand on the ground, go beat somebody, go knock the ball out and win the game. That's what they expected from him, and that's what they're lacking right now.
You know how fun it would be if you're Dante Fowler right now, if you're healthy, and the amount of third and longs this team gets into, and you just say, go, just go. It would be well, hopefully you get that next year. You draft, you know, draft a couple guys and everything else, you get some more speed on the defense. But I can't say enough good things about how well this defense is, because the other three phases are inconsistent right now. But the defense is – the other two phases are inconsistent right now. The defense has been consistently good the last several weeks.
Starts there.
The game they play this week, they got a great quarterback on the other side, but all of a sudden that team doesn't look very good either.
No, and the offensive line's beat up. They got no weapons, you know. No Keenan Allen. Malcolm Floyd's hurt now, I believe, too, Pete.
Yes, he's out. And
you got to cover Gates. But he's beat up.
Getting back, though. You know, he's been hurt, too. I mean, it's – and the line has been just decimated by injuries. They don't run the ball very well. I mean, look, this is a game where, you know, Jacksonville's favored in the game. It's a game they can win.
They should.
Look,
the Jaguars are a better football team than the San Diego Chargers right now.
It didn't help. Yesterday didn't help the Jaguars much.
You know what, Pete? I said it before you got on the line and during crosstalk. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was rooting for both the Jets and the Falcons. The Falcons have just laid an egg the last month and a half of the season. But I was rooting hard for them. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. I mean, because you get to play each of those teams again. I mean, so you really control. Everything's right in front of you as far as the division. It's right there for you.
So go get something done.
Well, I agree. I think when you look at what they can do, go beat the Colts, go beat the Texans. I mean, heck, the last week of the season could end up being for the division if things can play out.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That's right. Down in Houston.
Too bad it's not
maybe,
here.
Maybe they'd flex the game.
Oh, you know what?
Possible.
I mean, they haven't passed. Remember when they flexed the Seahawks and the Rams both with losing records because it was for the division?
Right.
No, they very well. If you look at it, that's not implausible because it could be the one game that it is winner gets in if the Jaguars take care of business. That's it. The Jaguars have to take care of business.
Flex it to primetime, huh?
Wouldn't that be unreal?
Sunday night football in Houston.
That'd be unreal.
On January 3rd.
But we got a long way to go. Listen, it's not like we blew the Titans out and we still got to go up there again. Now, if we could score in the tight red zone, we would have blown them out.
That's right. That was not a good scene offensively in terms of touchdowns. We'll get to all that.
Yeah, before we get to that. Yep. How much time do we have before break?
A couple minutes.
Okay, let's talk quickly. Let's give special teams Mike Mallory and that unit some due.
All over the across the board on special teams.
Covered great.
The punting.
Punting was great. Made their field goals when they needed to. And, boy, it's good to have a punt returner back, Pete. Rashad Green's an explosive young kid, and boy, that was a great return.
Yeah, and he's going to be a really good receiver, too, by the way. I mean, you know, that you worry about I said this the other day. I said they went out and tried to get Randall Cobb. One of the best moves that didn't make was not getting him. And Randall Cobb's a good player, but this team doesn't need Randall Cobb. Rashad Green is going to be a really good football player and a guy who in the middle of the field is going to create problems for teams. So I think they're set at wide receiver for a long, long time. They're set at quarterback. They're, you know, the running back.
They need another running back, though.
They need another running back, and they need help on that offensive line.
Yes. The offensive line was inconsistent. At times, looked really good. And at times, just, woof, some tough plays.
When we come back, we'll break down the Jaguars' offensive play on Thursday night, especially that red zone situation. Five chances, one touchdown. That's got to get better.
Yeah, that's not good. I got to believe, and we can look at I'll look at the stats before we come back, where we rank in red zone efficiency. Can't be very high.
Jags are a longtime partner of the Greater Jacksonville Area USO, and we're on a mission to fill Everbank Field with local vets and active duty military for this Sunday's game against the Chargers. Contribute today at JaguarsSaluteToService.com. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. Jags win last Thursday. Had the weekend off and now back at it coming up Sunday after Thanksgiving. Pete's with us now for real now, right, Pete?
Well, I was there for real. Oh, wasn't a fake me.
No, I thought it was fake.
It sounded kind of fake.
You weren't very good, yeah. By the way.
I'm always good, Tony. I was. How do you know? You knew it was me when I was ragging you about the chocolate fountain.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
By the way, you won a bet, Tony.
Yeah, I did. I guaranteed the Jags would win, and I said if I was wrong, I wouldn't eat for the entire show. I won, and I'll be eating here in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I don't. There's no
food
yet.
You also lost the guarantee a couple weeks ago when you said that.
Yeah, but I didn't put anything up on it. So I'm going to make guarantees. I might have a guarantee this week, too.
Hmm.
And it might be bigger than just one game.
So the guarantee that you made a couple weeks ago.
That one didn't count because I didn't put anything up against
it. All right, I'm just checking. I'm just trying to make sure that you keep your guarantee straight because you make like one every half hour, I think.
No. One a week at the most. And maybe I'll give guarantees a rest this week.
He guarantees that he's going to make another guarantee.
At some point. So what about this offense? Yeah.
Red zone.
27th in the league.
Yeah, five chances last week inside the 20, four field goals, one touchdown. And for the season, the Jaguars are 27th in the National Football League in touchdown percentage in the red zone. That's got to improve somehow. How do you do that?
Well, listen, you look back on this season, it's been a problem. And part of the problem is we don't run the ball very well. And when you're in the tight red zone, the passing lanes get tight. You have to be able to run the ball in. I've always believed inside the 10, not that whether you spread them out, tighten them up, your most successful way of scoring is running it in. Not that you can't throw it, and I'm not saying that, and I know Pete drives you crazy, but the greatest – that's where a physical offensive line who can move people off their spot is so valuable because you have to be able to, do that. And right now this team's struggled all year. If you think back on this season of where we are, we've moved the ball pretty much consistently all year.
Oh, between the 20, sure.
If they were just middle of the pack in red zone efficiency, have one more win for sure, maybe two or three more. That has been the Achilles heel of this team. Taking three instead of getting seven. And it was apparent. It was evident, I should say, on Thursday night. And I'll be honest with you, we were sitting in the booth, and I think I told Joe or Logs during a break, I'm saying, this is worrying me because this is the type of game that comes back to bite you because you don't take advantage of opportunities when you're down there in the first three quarters. And it almost did. And they need to figure it out. They need to do a better job up front. It starts up front always in the red zone. Quarterback make good – quick decisions, crisp routes. Everything has to be faster, more precise, and better when you're in the tight red zone because the field is condensed.
Well, and they were precise on the one that he threw to
great.
Julius
it was
Thomas.
Great. Outstanding.
Yeah. And that's what they need to be is more like that. But, Tony, you're forgetting one of the important things here. The hell did they run to Robinson three times on
yeah,
the goal
I wasn't,
line?
Yeah, I was the first down run, I know why they did, because they wanted to hurry up
right. Because
they're afraid the call was going to get overturned. And so he hustled up, and it was actually a good run. Denard almost scores. He gets hit by the strong safety. Julius Thomas couldn't get in there and dig him out. So he gets it down to the 1.5-yard line, basically, just inside the two. But at that point, Pete, I don't have an answer for you why he stayed in. I don't.
Somebody said, and I heard this secondhand, that they thought that Yeldon was gassed a little bit. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but he's not gassed, I joke with Fred Taylor after the game. I go, Fred, that remind you of anybody when they pulled the running back off the field at the goal line? I mean,
but it wasn't that situation. I mean, Denard's not the goal line back. Here's the only thing I can think of.
I don't care if you have
can I finish what I'm saying?
Goal line back ever, Tony. You don't pull them off.
Can I just finish one quick thing?
You interrupted me.
You interrupted me. I was finishing a thought. My thought is this. I know they want to limit TJ's touches to a manageable number. And really, he's getting the workload the entire game. And so maybe it was just Denard's series, and they just kept Denard out there. That's the only thing I can think. I still would have put TJ in there. I mean, Denard is a guy who, in his history, doesn't have a lot of reps, especially at the goal line. And but they didn't. They ran it three straight times with Denard, and the first down run was good. I understood the second down run. The third down run, I did not.
Yeah, I didn't like the play call. And you know, one of my pet peeves is everybody gets so compacted on the goal line and just, you know.
Well, the week before they spread it out, it didn't work either, Pete. It's about execution.
You still got to execute.
You got to block.
I don't like the calls. I didn't like the calls. And I said that. I think Greg Olsen's done a fantastic job with this offense. I'm going to give him a lot of kudos on that. There's been two goal line instances that have been awful. One was Toby Gerhart, the Magic Man, mm-hmm. and the other one was the other night. I thought that was bad.
Well, yeah, it was not fabulous, that's for sure. But they got to figure it out. Forget that one series of plays. They have to get better in the tight red zone. I'm stating the obvious. But if you want a chance to make a run at this division, you're going to be in tight games. The rest of the way is going to be tight. If you look at the schedule, you know, San Diego and Tennessee, if you play well, you can beat both those teams by two scores. But after that, you better score touchdowns against the Saints because they're going to score. They have a terrible
Atlanta's going to score.
Atlanta's going to score. Well, not like they were, Pete. They're not doing as good a job, that's for sure.
Shanahan.
Well,
that's the Shanahan.
Good. I hope he keeps on messing up. But Atlanta has the potential to score points.
Yeah, the Texans don't score points.
Texans don't.
But they're playing really good defense all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, they play good defense. So there's one other team I'm forgetting that we play. So
another red zone question.
The Colts.
Colts.
Yeah,
and they can score.
That's right. Another red zone question. How about a fade here or there? Why haven't we seen more of that?
I have my theory on it. I don't think he throws the fade that well.
I think Pete's right. I'm not sure how comfortable they are with Blake throwing that right now.
Yeah, I think
he's worked on
so many little things, the mechanics and the throwing motion and the feet and everything else. The next step for him is working on those touch throws into the end zone.
I think he's better at the back shoulder, and the way people are playing soft coverage, you got to throw that fade and throw it to the back end zone. That's what that'd be my guess why they're not. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Particularly with big receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, Allen Robinson with a 42-inch vertical or whatever it is.
I agree. I'd throw it up to him.
And don't you remember during camp and during mini camps and stuff, they threw that a lot to him.
Yeah, I would absolutely do it. I don't know why they don't. It's a great point.
You got Julius Thomas. You got Mercedes, former basketball
I would
guy.
Throw it to Allen before I threw it to anyone else. So that's why I threw it to
Let me say one thing I wanted to get off my chest today.
Get
too.
It off.
All right. And I'm
you need to get some weight off your chest. But besides
I know.
That,
so do ahead. You, Fountain Man. Not Mountain Man, Fountain Man. You used to be the Mountain Man when you were the offensive lineman, yeah. Stoning guys. Now you're the Fountain Man.
Now I'm just a
chocolate fountain man.
Marshmallow man.
I don't know. Yeah. Hey, it's fatball season. I tell you that every week. Tony, one thing that I'm going to defend the head coach, okay? And you know me, I'll criticize a head coach, I'll criticize a coordinator, but I'm going to defend the head coach. When he kicked the field goal instead of going for it on fourth down, to me, he made the right play. And a lot of people differed with me.
I would have gone for it.
Then you are wrong, too.
No, I'll say this. I'll say the exact same thing I said up there. I would have gone for it if it was my decision. Now, I understood why he didn't, because they'd been stuffed twice. And a field goal, and the defense had played outstanding outside of one drive that was aided by a terrible pass interference call. I mean, awful. The Titans had not really threatened the end zone.
And they had no timeouts left.
And they had no timeouts left. With 6 inches to go, though, I would have gone for it. It probably, I might have been wrong.
But have they gotten 6 inches in that situation all year?
in the preseason.
That factors into it.
No, it's right, Pete. You're right. Listen.
And here's the other part of it. They've had problems on short yardage, okay? Game flow matters. If the game had been 38-35 and everybody going up and down the field, nobody stopping anybody,
then you probably go for it. And I said the same thing.
But you have a rookie quarterback who hadn't done much with no timeouts, and he's now got to go get a touchdown. To me, that's the play. The play is that. And, you know, they ended up winning the game, and, yeah, it came down to the end there, and they had the sack on Branch coming around from Mandarin to get him. But the bottom line is you got to look in the game flow. Maybe mathematically, and the math heads will get out and say, well, you got this percentage if you got this much and you do this, and they look at the numbers and the probability. But game flow's got to be taken into account with those. Not all of those situations are created the same. And when it's 38-35, big difference from, what was it? They were up three, so it was at 16-13, right? And they made it 19-13.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
All right, so that's an entirely different game. So I thought he played it right. If you have a high-scoring game and nobody's stopping anybody, then I think you go for it.
I'd have gone for it.
Well, you're an offensive lineman. You can get everything.
I know. I'd call timeout. Got my guys around me and said, "Listen, putting the game on your backs. Let's go get me 6 inches."
And then when they drop the snap and they got nothing, they go down and get a field goal and
we're in overtime.
And then you're complaining about it.
And they probably fire me.
Well, and then I'll keep coaching on and I'll be the next Belichick.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's made great decisions.
Yeah, he botches them. They all botch them. Somebody said to me the other day, they go, "Oh, they don't have time to practice them all anymore." Well, you can practice every damn one of them. There's no time limit on practicing them in your head, okay? And putting the situations out there and studying them over and over and over again and banging them into your own head and then banging them into the team's head. There's no limitations on that. You can't go out and practice all those situations, but you sure as hell can, you know, do it in your mind on a consistent basis.
Park, ride, and relax. JTA Stadium Shuttle makes game days more enjoyable with hassle-free trips to the stadium. For ticket details and parking information, visit jtafla.com. A little more on the Jaguars' defense coming up. What Blake Bortles can do the last 6 weeks of this season to get this offense going as well. Your calls coming up a little bit later tonight as well. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday rolls along. Jags win it 19-13 on Thursday Night Football and then had the weekend off to scoreboard watch a little bit. Tony Vaselli is currently getting food, Pete. Shocker.
Of course he is.
So he is away for the moment. Tonight on Channel 4, Jaguars All Access, Blake Bortles is the guest. That's at 7 o'clock. Sam Kavaris, Jeff Lagerman, and the Jaguars quarterback. So DVR it. Listen to this show.
Yeah.
And then, Blake Bortles making an appearance on TV tonight. The we were talking about defense earlier in the show, Pete. How about you mentioned Cyprian. The tackling's been better for Sip the last couple weeks. Telvin Smith can be in that conversation, too. What kind of year is Telvin having for you, Pete?
I love the way Telvin plays. I love athletic, fast coverage, gets to the football. At the point of attack, big linemen can engulf him sometimes, but to me, he's so athletic and so fast and so quick that he can get away from a lot of those guys and still make the play. So I'm a big Telvin Smith guy. That's the kind of linebacker you have to have nowadays. Guy who stays on the field on all downs, can run, chase, cover, and if he's asked to blitz, he can blitz. And remember the big talk last year was, boy, he needs to get heavier or else he's going to have problems.
Yeah.
Well, he hadn't gotten that much heavier, and he's not having problems. I think he's a really good, talented, modern linebacker. I mean, would it be better if he was 230, 235? Probably, but he's not. So he makes up with it with his speed and his intelligence, and I think he's a really good football player.
I think he could be a little bit bigger, but I agree with you, Pete. And what he's doing better this year as the year goes on, he's tackling in space a lot better, like at a high level. I'm not saying he was bad before, but he is really tackling in space at a high level. He's a him and Sip are good players, man. I mean, they got a couple good young players on this team. They're two of them. Avery Jones, no one's talking about him. Rotation-wise, he may have had a nice tackle for a loss. If you watch him on tape, he plays at a high level. He's a good rotation guy. The free agent signing, I know he doesn't sack the quarterback, although he got one. Jared Odrick is playing at a high level at that big defensive end position.
Was that the case earlier in the year?
No,
he stepped it up.
He's playing better. Yeah, the last, 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, he's playing really well, and so you can go down the, you know, Puz is solid. He's so valuable to this team, what he's able to do for a second down guy. Devon House continues to play well. Colvin's doing a good job in the slot, came up with some big plays. One of the worst pass interference calls I've ever seen. Pete, did you see that? Did you watch that? The one they called?
That was terrible.
I mean, it was awful.
Yeah, I don't.
It's like textbook. That's like what you want. That's like how you play the ball.
Yeah, and I don't know what they wanted. What they were looking at. That's what I couldn't figure out. I mean, it wasn't even like, it wasn't close to being pass interference. It was weird.
Yeah, I have no idea what the official even saw there. So, listen, you can go down the list. I've talked about Roy Miller all year. He's playing great. Tyson has done some. He's playing solid. I mean, you can go down the list of guys, and you're getting the production you are. Because guys are playing good football. You know, listen, everyone says, what about the sacks? Well, listen, they're not going to win one-on-one very much. It's just the way it is. They're going to twist, they're going to blitz, and that's fine. That guy's not right. He's not on the roster right now, or he's not healthy on the roster right now. And so you make do, and you scheme it up, and I think Bob Babich and the staff are doing a good job with that, and they're playing at a high level.
Yeah, you're going to – you know, that's something that – down the road, that'll show up and impact what's happening. I don't think there's any question about that because this is still a pass or pass rusher league. But, you know, the games that – this week, San Diego, the offensive line so bad. If it wasn't bad, it might not be an issue, but it, you know what I mean? So they can overcome it this week. Down the road, though, it's going to show up somewhere, whether it's New Orleans, Atlanta, maybe Indy if Luck gets back. Somewhere along the way, that lack of a pass rush is going to show up.
Well, Indy might be better with Hasselbeck right now.
Oh, stop.
I knew that, Jeremy. Well, you know, you look at some of your man crushes and quarterbacks, you know, Osweiler took Peyton's job.
Well, he's hurt, but.
I don't know how bad he's hurt right now.
And by the way, here's why I wouldn't play Osweiler. I mean, they have to because Peyton's going to get his foot checked out, but here's why I wouldn't play Osweiler this week. He's playing Belichick, okay?
Oh, they're going
to
kill him.
We know what Belichick does to young quarterbacks. So why not, if Peyton was healthy, you'd play Peyton. If he struggles, then you go to Osweiler. If Osweiler goes in there and they make him look awful, which, you know, Bill Belichick can do that to a young quarterback, then what do? Then you're stuck. So that's why if Peyton was capable of playing this week, I would play Peyton and then go from there. But I don't think Peyton's capable of playing, so it'd be interesting to see what happens with.
Well, they named Osweiler starter, so that's done.
On a week-to-week basis. Right. It's not because Peyton went to get his foot checked out in North Carolina today.
So you don't think he's done?
No.
Reports are he's coming back next year again, Pete.
I don't believe that.
Is that your
I hear he's going to be in the front office of the Texans, the Titans or the Browns next year.
Really?
Yeah. As a president.
Interesting.
As the president?
Yeah. That's the rumblings.
Interesting. Well, young quarterbacks, right? Right?
Well, that's not why they bring him in as president.
Yeah, why would you bring him in?
President's like Elway's
they,
title.
They want Elway.
Oh, okay. I got you. A lot of time.
I can say things, but I won't.
No, please do.
No.
Tony, come on. That's what
say
the
it.
Show's for. Say
no.
It. Don't be scared, man.
I don't understand why the Titans or the Browns would do it. I mean, I know he has ties to Haslam. Because he's a Tennessee guy. And he's a Tennessee guy with the Titans. But, I mean, that worked in Denver because Elway was a Bronco. And he got good people underneath him.
Yeah, but it also worked in Denver because Elway works at it. He's a, you know.
Elway's good. Don't get me wrong. Elway's a smart dude. And I'm not saying Peyton wouldn't be good at it. It's weird.
I think Peyton would be fantastic at it, by the way. Knowing him over the years and guys he's talked to and discussed and everything else and just players he knows in the league and everything else, I think he would be fantastic at it. He'd be a maniacal, crazy guy just like he is on the football field. But
he's very bright. Yeah, the question, no doubt,
is
about that.
The question, and Tony, we and you have had this conversation before. It's just football. When we were talking about you doing it at one point, it's just football. Okay.
I mean, we're talking about you, for God's sake, doing it.
Yeah, we were.
Well, I think I'm pretty smart.
Huh? Well, on some things, but I mean, it's just football. That's all it is. You evaluate the guy. Can he play? Can he can't play? You do some due diligence on him. You go into his background and find out if he's got problems, if he's going to work and play hard, and go from there.
That is a position. It's all about leadership, and Peyton is a leader. It's about leadership. It's about being able to make a decision and stand by your convictions. Evaluate, get good people around you, lead that group, manage that group, and then make the decision to stand by it. That's what that job is.
We'll come back and take a look at the Jaguars injury report. Where do the Jags stand heading into week 12? Your call's coming up as well. We'll go around the National Football League at length tonight and recap week 11. Look forward to week 12. The Jags are giving 5 lucky families a chance to win an epic experience with the Jags Giving Sweepstakes presented by Zone. You can win a game day experience for the Falcons game December 20th, including tickets, parking, a catered tailgate, and pregame field passes. Enter today at jaguars.com/jagsgiving. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday rolls along. Injury report time.
Oh, before we go to that, hold on. Don't play the music yet.
Excuse me, Tony. What's up?
Talking about defense. Pete.
Yes.
You see Quentin Coble's got waived today?
Yeah.
Would you sign him if you're the Jags?
I'd give him a look, yes.
I would too.
Yes.
I'd pick him
up. I know he's been a bit of a disappointment there, but still better. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think he's better than what they got right now.
I would pick him up. I'd claim his contract. You always can cut him. You have plenty of cap room. Cut him if it doesn't work.
We also
but the problem is the Jags are winning now. They're like number 10 in the order, claiming.
Right. We were wrong about Aldon Smith, by the way.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up. That didn't really work out so well, did it?
Why? 1 year suspension. I in my plan, I had factored that in the entire time.
No, in your plan, you factored in he'd be suspended right away, and then you get him for most of next season.
Now, okay, so you get him half the next season.
No. Not half, about 8 games of it.
Pete, we play 16. That'd be half.
No, you get him for 9 games of it. You would get him because he was suspended last week, so you get him for 7 games of it, Tony, or 6. I know how many games they play.
Apparently not.
I don't know, Pete. You just said. I said they get it for half. Hey, you said, no, they don't. They get it for 8.
Before we get to the injury report, we got to have PFF moment.
No, we do that after.
We'll do that after.
Okay,
that
all after. Right.
No, we got plenty of time for that coming up. Let's get to the injury report.
Well done, Pete.
No official updates from the team today since the team did not practice, but Zane Beadle is in the concussion protocol. Might be on the field tomorrow, depending on his movement through that protocol. Dan Scooter re-aggravated the groin injury in the game. You know, said it was his decision to play and played through it anyway and was unable to finish the ball game. Michael Bennett with a hamstring injury. Bernard Pierce did not play, had the calf injury. Could you have seen Pierce in the goal line there if he's healthy?
I don't know. I'm at a loss.
Yeah.
I watched the tape. I didn't see Zane, like, take a major shot. He took a lot of shots. I mean, you're an offensive lineman. Right. You take a lot of shots. But that whole concussion thing's interesting because I didn't see him look like he was affected during the game. It must have been something that came on afterwards maybe in the morning. Was it because they reported it right after
it
the
was
game,
right?
Right
after the game. So he must have played through the game. It'll be interesting to see because he has a long game started streak and all that. He's played through with other injuries and stuff, so I'm sure he wants to keep that going. But you guys, certainly you have, Tony, the last few weeks said that he shouldn't have been in there anyway, right? You still with that? Or is he playing better?
No, he's not playing better. Tony won't say it, so I will. No, he's not playing better.
Can I answer the question, Pete?
Go ahead.
You're eating.
I'm not eating.
Yeah, you are. I'm sitting here looking at you.
No, you're making that up, JP. I'd be starting Tyler Shatley. No, I say that. I'm not at practice. Maybe Shatley can't block me. But based on what I saw in the preseason, and the last time I saw Tyler Shatley, that's who I'd be playing.
Me too.
It's pretty simple.
And you know, let's face it. Next year it's going to be Can and Linder.
Yes.
You figured out which side? Linder on the left?
No, still, come on. Let's not worry about that right now.
Linder's going to be on the right. Cam's going to be on the left.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that, Pete.
I'm pretty sure about it.
Who told you that?
I'm pretty sure about it.
We'll see. I might have a better source than you.
Oh, we're battling sources now.
Source battle.
I like it.
Yeah.
Really? In the grand scheme of things?
It doesn't matter.
That's the new face-off.
It doesn't matter at all. And I actually have no idea. I'm just being antagonistic.
I think the ideal plan would be to play Linder at right guard and Cann at left guard. That's ideally what they'd like to do, but you never know.
Yeah. The one thing that, I don't know. We'll see. I can go both ways. I can speculate either way.
Their offensive line next year will be Alex Mack at center, A.J. Cann at right guard, Parnell at right tackle. Left guard will be Cann will be left guard, right guard will be Linder, and then left tackle will be Joko and Parnell. That's what their line's going to be next year.
Okay.
That's my gut feeling.
So you think Mac comes here after he opts out?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Very interesting. We're going to talk about
He hasn't played great this year either.
Not on a very good
How
team.
How old is he?
Late 20s?
Yeah, he's old enough. I mean, he's the right age for, when you're getting good. You want a veteran center in there.
Yeah. Plus, center, if you take care of yourself and you're good, you can play to your 34.
Yeah, he's he's born in 1985, so he's turns 30.
30 this year.
Just turned 30 last week, as a matter of fact.
So he'll be 31 next year. So maybe three or four more years.
Yeah.
I mean, Meester was how long in the league? I mean, that's a –
Forever?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played a long time.
Yeah. I don't know. He was old.
Yeah, he was old at the end. But
he played well still.
Played well.
They wanted him back.
Very end. Yeah, sure.
I mean, he could have come back if he wanted to.
A lot to get to in that department in the
offseason. There's a lot. I know we're going to break here.
And I want to mention Scooter too, but go ahead.
Well, Scooter, I mean, listen, I give the guy credit. Trying to play through it.
Yeah.
that's what you're supposed to do. If you think you can go and you can contribute, you go fight through it and do the best you can, and it didn't work out as far as him making it through the game.
Is it an issue, though, that if he's not available for the next week or two?
Yeah, but I don't think you can make decisions like that. If you think you go through the stuff and you think you're ready to play, then you go play. You can't say, well, maybe if I take this. No, I mean, maybe if
it's an issue for the rest of the
team. Well, yeah, it's no good. It's not good. You want him out there.
Yeah.
I mean, the only time I think you make that decision is like, okay, we've established our playoff spot. We can't get any better, can't really get any worse, and I got a lingering – I might as well take the last week off because it doesn't benefit – there's no benefit to playing, and there's only downside. But when you're in a situation where the Jags are and you're Dan Scooter, you're like, listen, we need to win a ball game, and I'm not going to worry about what happens 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now. I think I can play. I'm going to go try to play through it. It didn't work out, but I give the guy credit.
What do you think, Pete? Well,
yeah, I mean, he tried to play through. He only played 20 plays.
Well, because he took himself out, Pete, because he's
– I know.
Pulled his groin.
I know, but he tried to play through, and he only played 20 plays. Look, it's not like he – I don't know. I personally, if you get healthy, then come back and play. That's my theory.
Yeah, but if he thought he was healthy enough to play –
Right, and then you try it, and then you hurt it, and you come back out. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah, me neither.
We'll come back. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll get the Pro Football Focus grades.
And then phone calls.
And then some phone calls. Whatever Tony would like to do.
And then we're going around the league for two segments. A lot of interesting information out there.
Thank you, Tony. We'll be back in a moment. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday rolls along. Hour number two underway. J.P. Shadrick. Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, your calls. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll go around the National Football League as well. Plenty of happenings in Week 11. We'll recap the week coming up. Hey, Pro Football Focus, we always break down the grades of the Jaguars in the previous week. And, of course, the Jags.
Hold on, I'm not ready for that yet.
What are you ready for, Tony? What are you ready for? Dessert?
I'm thinking about my guarantee.
Well, you've already paid up your guarantee because you've just.
Oh, I did eat. Yeah, so, all you callers, I kept my word. I ate. I'm thinking about where we're going to be in 2 weeks.
In terms of what?
No, the Jaguars are going to be 6-6 in 2 weeks. That's my. Not ready to guarantee it, but I think that's where they're going to be.
Okay. So that's wins against San Diego and at Tennessee.
Houston plays New Orleans, which they're going to beat.
Houston's going to beat New Orleans?
Yes.
Okay.
Book it.
Don't they got to go to New England?
And then Houston has to play at Buffalo.
That's a tough game.
They're going to lose that game.
Right.
Okay. Indy's got to go to Tampa.
No, they have Tampa.
Well, they have Tampa. They're going to win that game. And then Indy has to go to Pittsburgh, which they're going to lose. So in 2 weeks, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Houston Texans, and the Indianapolis Colts will all be 6-6.
Tied for first.
Book it.
That's your guarantee.
That's your guarantee.
Book it.
You just mushed them.
Yeah, way to go.
What do you mean I just mushed them? I guaranteed this past week and we won.
You guaranteed 5-5 2 weeks ago and then didn't.
That was I was very close on that one.
But you were wrong. Is good. His close isn't good, only good in horseshoes.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, 6-6.
What's on the line this time for you? What are you going to put on it?
I don't know. Maybe we'll let the callers call in and tell me what I should put on it.
Tony, if they get to 6-6 with four to go, what do they do down the stretch?
You know, in my heart, I think they're 8-8 at the end of the year.
If they're 8-8 at the end of the year, they're winning the division.
That's why I got it's 7-9, 8-8. Those stand out to me. I mean, I just think that's where it's going to be, and I think everyone's going to be around there.
If they go 8-8, they win the division. Period. You don't think so?
No, I think they could. Listen, there's a couple reasons I want to be. I want everyone 6-6 in 2 weeks because the next week's game with Indy coming here would be huge. I mean, you might get – you'll get a you probably get Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts, number two crew. Because the number one crew will be at Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
That could be really big. I mean, yeah. That could be for the division.
Yeah.
It could be, yeah. You're right.
Don't the Tech, and if I'm mistaken, don't the Texans have to go to, and I'll look and see right here. But
yeah, they go to, no, New England comes to them the same week we play Indy.
Yeah, they're not going to beat New England. I don't care where it is.
No. So, Pete, are the Panthers and the Patriots both going undefeated? I saw some ridiculous thing on ESPN Sunday morning because I had the late game so I could watch it. And they went through week by week. It was a really bad segment, but they did it. So I guess we'll do it too.
yeah, great idea.
Steal bad ideas. Brilliant, Tony. You think they go undefeated?
Well, they're going to have to get past Denver next week, which, you know, they should. I think they will. But, I mean, it's never easy. So after that, yes, if they get through that, they are. Don't you think?
I think they lose tonight.
You're
really
crazy.
Really? The Bills going to get them.
Those is that a guarantee, too?
No, I can't guarantee that.
Why not? Why'd you throw it out there?
Because I think I picked them. I have to do
weekly. Well, then guarantee it.
No. I do weekly picks for Westwood One.
I heard about that.
And I picked them.
All right, so here's their schedule the rest of the way. Ready? Here's the Patriots. At the Broncos.
Okay.
Call it out. Win or loss.
Well, I've already had them lost tonight. They'll beat the Broncos with Osweiler.
Right. Home against the Eagles.
No, they're going to kill them.
At the Texans.
They'll win.
Home against the Titans.
They'll kill them.
At the Jets.
They could lose that.
At Miami.
They'll kill Miami.
They're going to lose to the Jets? Did you watch the Jets yesterday?
No, I said they could.
Terrible yesterday.
Oh, they were awful. They've just gone off the ledge, man.
I think the Bills get them. How about the
All
Panthers?
Right, ready for the Panthers schedule?
Yeah, I don't think the Panthers lose.
Panthers are losing Thursday, by the way.
You think?
At Dallas.
I don't think so.
Tony Romo.
Oh, I do. I think they lose Thursday. Saints at the Saints.
They're not losing that.
Home against the Falcons.
I don't think they'll lose that. I think they'll beat up the Falcons.
At the Giants.
I think Tom beats them.
I think Tom beats them, too. At the Falcons. And then home against the Bucs. They're not going undefeated.
No. Panthers are not going undefeated.
No. New England might.
They'll be 13-3.
Not a bad year. I'd take the 13-3.
They might lose three, actually. 14-2.
Ron Rivera should be in the Coach of the Year conversation.
You know his first 2 years, at one point he was like 9-28. They were getting ready to fire him.
Yep.
He's done a good job, and Cam Newton's in the MVP conversation.
As he should be.
Yes.
He is a stud. Who else will be coach of the year besides Rivera?
Well, Marvin Lewis was in it, but he's kind of – last 2 weeks have taken that away.
Yeah. You know what? I give Bill Belichick what he's done with that roster, that offense, that offensive line.
I agree.
You got to put him up there.
I think he's fantastic. I think he's absolutely fantastic.
All right, let's do PFF.
Let's move it PFF. Ready? Where do you want to start, offense or defense?
I don't want to start on either because I don't like this segment.
The Pro Football Focus Review.
We'll do whatever you want, Pete.
All right. Let's see. We'll go through the
– You know one thing before we get started? This is actually driving them business. They should pay us to do this segment every week.
It's a great idea.
I mean, the free advertising they're getting of me not liking this segment is driving people to their site. I'd like a cut of that, Chris Collinsworth.
We still should get Steve on, too.
Yeah, where's Steve?
We need to get him on.
We'll get him on.
Yeah.
All right, let's go through. Allen Hurns.
Even.
Slight minus, but you're close. Mercedes Lewis.
He blocked very well.
And they gave him credit for blocking, but everything else was...
Well, I mean, he didn't do it. He wasn't involved in the passing game. It's not fair.
All right. Luke Jokel.
He got beat for a sack against Arakpo. He got pushed back into the pocket. I thought he ran blocked well.
They gave him a big minus in the run blocking.
Really?
Yeah, minus 2.5, and then gave him a .3.
Yeah, I give him, if I was grading, and again, I hate doing this, I would give him a slight minus to even.
Okay.
Overall.
Wisniewski.
I don't think he blocked very well, Ron.
No, and they gave him a big minus in that.
Yeah, I didn't think he run blocked very
Beatles.
Well. Beatles. Minus.
In both, big time.
Okay.
It's time to sit him down. AJ Cann.
A slight positive.
Bingo. Parnell.
I give him a zero, even.
Yeah, he was a little bit above the even. Minus in run blocking and a little bit above.
You know, they're better this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did pretty good.
Julius Thomas.
He ran blocked better.
Yeah.
And he was effective in the pass game.
Slightly above.
Yeah.
Allen Robinson.
Like as big as plus as you can give him.
Nah, they gave him 2.8, but that's a big plus. He's a big plus.
Yeah, I mean, the play he made is unbelievable. The
28-yard catch.
I mean, Bortles.
I'll say this. I thought Bortles – I didn't think Bortles played all that great, and then I watched the tape because I was – I thought he was a little jumpy in the pocket, but watching the tape, he wasn't. The times he moved, he had to. He had free runners coming at him, and from the booth, it looked like they were covered up a little bit, but they weren't. He threw a terrible pick. I don't know what he was looking at when he threw it to Julius Thomas. Julius was covered the entire play.
Yeah, that was bad.
Outside of that, I thought he played okay.
Yeah, they gave him a plus. Yeldon.
Yeldon blocked well, and I thought he missed. I saw one hole. I thought he was a little hesitant. He got a 5-yard gain. I thought if he just – he tried a little stutter step. I thought if he just hit it full speed, he runs through the tackle and gets probably 10. But I give him a positive.
Yeah, they gave him a little bit of a thing. All right, let's go to defense. Odrick.
Positive.
Big time. Alu-Alu.
Positive in the run.
They gave him a slight even in the run.
I would have gone positive run, even pass.
They gave him slight negative in pass and even on the run.
Okay. It's not that
Roy
far.
Miller.
Like a huge positive in the run. Huge.
Yeah, he was huge in the run and solid in the pass, too. He was positive all the way across. Andre Branch.
Just zero.
Negative. Scuda. Well, he didn't play. He played 20 plays. Puzlusny.
Positive in the run.
But negative in the pass because he got sucked up on that one throw over his head.
Yep.
They gave him. Telvin Smith.
Positive, positive.
Positive, positive. All the way across. Colvin.
I thought he played well.
Solid. They gave him a just above positive. Cyprian.
Positive, positive.
Positive, positive. Evans.
I don't think he got...
Negative. Negative in pass coverage, negative in overall. House.
He had the one PI or holding, which was questionable, but I can see why they called it. I'd say positive.
Forced a fumble.
Here are the negatives. Chris Clemens, negative, negative. Sergio Brown, negative.
Okay.
Dwayne Grotz. Negative.
Okay.
Avery Jones, slight positive.
Yeah, I disagree with that one.
You think it should be more?
Yeah.
I thought he played pretty well, too, just from watching the game when I was there. So, not so bad today, huh?
They were much better. Yeah, Steve must have been working with them.
Or Steve did it.
Steve might have done it.
Yeah.
Where's Steve right now? Get Steve on the phone right now.
I don't know where he is. Demetrius McCray played.
He looked like Grotz got benched.
Right. He got 17 snaps.
I did a good job.
Yeah. Well, maybe he needs to play more.
He was the perfect matchup for Doriel Green Beckham.
Right, because all he does is go straight down the field.
Yeah, perfect matchup for him.
How about a phone call? You ready to open the phone line?
Yeah, bring him on. Five, Tony loves that.
Five. It's a quiet night tonight. There's too much positivity in the air. They don't like it.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Marshall in San Marco. Defense on your mind. Marshall, what's up?
Hey, guys. How about that Jags D, huh? We've been got a lot of criticism the last couple years, and they're finally, kind of making the turning point, I guess you could say. Just kind of wanted to get your take on that. Then I also wanted to say that y'all are one of the worst shows that I listen to on 1010XL. Tony Baselli is probably the only guy that I really enjoy his credibility and what he says. Pete Prisco, you're absolutely terrible.
Hold on, you just said, wait, yeah, hold on. What's your name?
Marshall.
Marshall.
Marshall, okay.
Yes,
why am I terrible?
Just stop Pete for a second.
No, I want to hear
I know, hold on, he's going to get to that in a second. I got to ask Marshall a question first. Marshall, did you just come on our show and say this is the worst show on 1010?
I did, man. I truly believe it, I wouldn't have said that if I didn't believe it.
You're in the minority, and B, why am I terrible? I just want to hear.
And why do you listen for this bad?
Well, no, I love the analysis. I don't like the naysayer jag that is Pete. There's a lot of things that, the Jaguars just can never do that satisfy him, as an NFL organization. He thinks that every NFL team should be the Patriots, and that's just not the standard, to be honest with you. Do you want to know why?
No, I said, people think that I go bend over backwards to defend the Jaguars. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Marshall, I'd have to disagree with you. Even though you like me, I'm
totally disagree.
Crazy.
No, Baselli, you're great, man.
Thank you very much.
So what, you want me to wave pom-poms? Is that what you want? I mean, I'm going to tell you like it is. If I don't think something's right, I'm going to put it out there and say it.
No, David Lamb tells it like it is. Pete Prisco is a naysayer. You really kind of throw the Jags' name in the mud a lot. Honestly, you do, dude.
You got the wrong dude. I don't know what you're talking about. Seriously,
Marshall, I agree with you. I think Pete's an idiot.
Yeah, listen closer, or get some Q-tips for the ears because you have no idea what you're talking.
Marshall, you can call in any time, even though you said the show's awful.
One-way ticket, express lane. All right, boys, have a good night.
See you, Marshall. Thank you. Thank you for making my night.
How about that,
Pete?
So I killed the Jaguars.
Yeah, I don't. I disagree with it, but it was fun listening to it.
Yeah, I don't know
where
he's talking
come
about.
From? That's weird. That's a strange one.
It was great though. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Yeah, he could call every week.
Call every week. It means I'm doing my job if I irritated him.
You like irritating people, don't you?
I'm like a spur you sit on your when you sit down.
You're like sandpaper.
No, more like remember those spurs that you used to get in the field when you know what I'm talking about? That's what I am. They get caught in your skin. That's what I am.
Let's go to Leo in Mandarin Personnel. Leo, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call, man. I had a comment I wanted to make, and then I wanted to ask a question for basically Tony. Pete, Pete, you're my guy. But here's what I wanted to say. A couple weeks ago, I know the Baltimore game is done and over with, but I don't know if you guys noticed. A lot of people around town tried to say, oh, we got lucky, we got the flag at the end. Do you know that Baltimore, I called the night of the game when we won, and I told everybody, Baltimore is a championship franchise, okay? And regardless of they're 2-7 and they're down right now, and look, they cut two players. The guy that fumbled, he muffed the punt, and they cut a cornerback. And that should go to show you that, yeah, they – probably knew that we got the flag and we got help at the end, but they didn't like the fact that they lost to the Jaguars. So they, what they do, they went out and they were proactive, and they cut guys who thought, you know, they thought were weak links. But here's a question I want to ask for you, Tony. I just don't understand how, like, Nick Marshall, you know, they brought him in. They said he's a cornerback. And I think he used to play quarterback at Auburn, didn't he?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, what's up with the – how come they don't, like, just try to experiment and put him in at, like, free safety or more defensive back? Because it seems like they want to get him involved more in the game and get him around the ball. I just don't know why they don't – is it because of contract? You know, he can't come in.
Leo, it's very easy. He's a developmental player. They like his athletic ability. They didn't want to put him on practice squads, my guess, because they thought he might get snatched up because he has a lot of talent. But he's very, very raw. I think they like him. I think he can be a guy who develops into a corner, or I like him at free safety. I agree with you there.
Me too.
But you know what? It's not going to be this year. He needs another offseason. He needs another OTAs and training camp to get used to playing defense. And I think you'll see more of Nick Marshall. I don't think, you know, you might not see him active for the rest of the year because they're going to use Rashard Greene as the punt returner. But that doesn't mean that he is out of their plans.
I think he's going to be a real good free safety, or it can be. He's got range. He's played the corner position.
Very good ball skills.
Now, the question will be, will he be able to come down and hit
tackle
somebody and blast the running back in the hole? That's the question. It's different than when you tackle a guy on the corner or receiver or something. But when you come down and you blast a running back in the hole, will he do that?
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see in training camp him at free safety and they find out whether he can tackle or not.
Yeah, probably even before that, Tony.
No, I mean, but you're not going to play him this year, Pete.
No, not this year. I'm talking about next year when you put, you know, see if he has the range back there and the
skills. No, but you're not going to know whether he can tackle or not until preseason.
No, but you're going to know if he can go sideline to sideline and have the awareness.
Well, I think they know he can do that.
Can he identify, you know?
Yeah. Awareness might be the other question.
Awareness, right, sure. Yeah. But I think they know his athletic ability. I think the question is, will he come up and stick a running back going full speed, you know, at 5 yards?
I mean, Reggie Nelson had the range and the ability, but he took bad angles because he was thinking too much when he was in Jacksonville.
And he's pretty good now.
Yeah, he is pretty good now. He's a free agent.
Really?
Bring him back.
Really? Would you?
I think he's up in the years now, man. He's not.
Yeah, I don't know how many years he has left.
We'll come back. More of your calls. We'll go around the National Football League a little bit later as well. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
The Jags are longtime partners of the Greater Jacksonville Area USO, and we're on a mission to fill Everbank Field with local vets and active duty military and their families and friends for this Sunday's game against the Chargers. Contribute today at JaguarsSaluteToService.com. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Pete Prisco taking heat tonight.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm going to have to be nice now, I guess.
No, Pete, don't change.
I'm going to be Captain Sunshine from now
don't
on.
Don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding? You think I would ever change, Tony?
No.
You know me better than
I
that.
Really don't. Let's go
no,
back.
I won't.
Let's go back to the phone lines. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. John on the south side. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, man.
So, first, I got to disagree with that guy before. If anything, Pete, I think you're more Captain Sunshine being all positive with the Jag than you are with them. So I think he's way off. I think he leaned towards the other end, which is probably okay with where we're at in our development. But my question is, T-Wig said on the show earlier this week that we're going to have a new left tackle next year. Do you agree with that?
And
No, absolutely not.
T-Wig doesn't know what he's talking about. If T-Wig said that, he has no idea.
He's wrong.
Yeah, dead wrong.
Yeah, there will not be a new left tackle next year.
Nope.
Where would that come from?
T-Wig?
No. Well, there you go. Okay.
Not happening.
Tim in St. Augustine. AFC on your mind, Tim. What's up?
Tim. Gentlemen, how are you?
Great, Tim. What's up?
All right. So a little while ago, Tony looked into his crystal ball and said book 666, right?
I did.
So I would like for Mr. Bucelli to go in one more time and tell me where the AFC South is going to be 2 to 3 years from now. Because everyone seems to be pretty even at the moment, right, in terms of quality of play, where are we going to be at 2-3 years from now?
Well, I'm going to go year by year as I look into the into the future.
I can't wait for this.
Next year, I would say 10-6, 11-5, contending for the division title between us and the Colts. Because until the Texans get a quarterback, they're just going to meander around 8-8. The Titans have no weapons outside, so they're they have a nice young quarterback. Mariota is going to be good.
Who's the head coach going to be?
That's a big question. Yep. So it's unsettled there. 2 years from now, it'll be between a three-way race between the Colts, the Titans, and the Jags, and it'll be like that for the probably 3 years following that, because they're the three franchises that have a franchise quarterback.
Now, if the Texans get a quarterback, that's a different story.
Well, if they do, but the problem the Texans are, their defense is going to be getting older. They have cap issues. And as do the Colts. So there's going to be some questions there for those teams.
Can we just take it 1 year at a time?
Well, yeah,
no, because it's a building. You're building, JP. It's not about.
I did what Pete Prisco says I'd never do. I looked ahead.
You did look ahead, and you should look ahead. When you're building to something, you got to look ahead. So next year, 10-6, 11-5, push for the division title, and the following year, you should be a Super Bowl contender.
I agree.
Yeah, that would be
probably win Super Bowl 52 or 53.
Yeah, why not? Where would that one be? Where is that?
I have no idea.
When are you talking about? In 2 more years?
Super Bowl 52.
Where's 51?
Is that Minneapolis? Might be Minneapolis, right?
I think it's Minneapolis.
Yeah, it might be.
I was just there. That's new stadium's nice.
Yeah, it's gonna be. Well, you know the.
It is Minneapolis.
Yeah, there you have it. In the new stadium, they're playing outdoors until then, right?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to the new stadium.
They go to the next new stadium next year. Next season.
They played at the University of Minnesota now.
Which is a great facility, by the way.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yes.
It was very nice. Great atmosphere. It was loud.
You were there. That's right.
Yeah.
That's a good, easy city to get in and out of, you know? And people.
Good airport. Good hotels. Good downtown. Way too cold. I'd never live there.
No, I would never live there either, but I'll tell you what, when they had the Super Bowl there that 1 year, it was they had the walkways and everything, so it really wasn't that bad.
No, I asked the lady on the plane ride home today, and I said, "Why do you live here?" I go, "You know you don't have to. You can leave. It's cold." And she told me she likes the cold.
Was it cold there yesterday?
30s wind chill in the 20s.
So kind of like it's in Jacksonville tonight.
No, it was colder there, Pete. You know, the cold never bothered me before, but lately, maybe it's because I'm getting so fat.
It's because you're Floridaized and you were Californiaized. You get used to where you live.
I've lived in warm weather places longer in my life now than I did where I grew up. So, yeah, you're right.
I hate the cold. Hate it with a capital H.
I do, too. I told her, I said, I'd rather be hot, humid any day of the week than cold. I hate being cold.
Right. You'd rather have 95 in humidity.
I'll be on the golf course sweating my rear end off.
Then 15 and freezing.
Oh, what do you do? I said to this person today, I go, what do you do? There's nothing to do when it's cold.
You know what you do?
You get
run
fatter.
From the house to the car, from the car to the work, from the work to the house to the car, and you stay the hell out of it.
And you get fatter.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's
if I live, I'm fat now. If I lived in Minnesota, I'd be 400 pounds. Because when you're cold, you don't want to work out. All you want to do is eat.
Right. You don't want to go outside. You don't want to do anything.
You know what they have up in those places? That's what the soup of the day was? Beer cheese. I'm like, I can hear myself getting fatter and clogged arteries if I eat that.
And you had some.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
I didn't.
Don't lie.
No, I had chips and homemade chips with French onion dip and sliders.
You didn't go out for dinner in Minneapolis.
No,
some
I got
good restaurants.
I got there late, so.
Yeah, they got some good restaurants.
I got there late on Saturday.
You know what, Tony? You know what's different about that bet now that you go to, I haven't gone to a Vikings game at that place yet, but that I can still hear it on Sundays, but the horn isn't the same as it used to be when it was inside the Metro.
No, in the Metro, I hate that horn.
Me too. It's so annoying. There's only one thing in sports that's more annoying. It's the siren at the University of Washington. Do you remember that when you played in the Pac-10?
I don't like the guns at when they shoot the guns at Gillette either. Oh.
Or even at or the cannon at Tampa.
No,
but
that's stupid.
Don't you remember the siren at the University of Washington?
Yeah. Yep. I do.
Every touchdown, it was annoying.
I do.
Jr. on the cell phone tonight. Peyton Manning on your mind. What's up, Junior?
I just wanted to make a brief comment on the intelligence and the bright businessman. As far as when he gets done playing football, I would consider the guy a genius. Just as a humorous comment, he bought 21 Papa John's franchises in the state of Colorado, and every football pot-smoking fan that goes to a game or watches one, he's going to be a multimillionaire.
So wait a second. Hold on. So you're saying Peyton knew they're going to legalize marijuana, so he bought pizza joints.
He bought 21 franchises.
No, but you're saying he bought them because they're going to legalize weed. They did legalize weed.
Colorado's already legal.
No, I said that's why he bought them. That's what you're implying. Peyton had this crystal ball, this business sense to know that weed is coming in Colorado, and all the stoners are going to want to eat pizza when they're stoned. I'm buying a pizza joint.
Smart.
That's what you're saying. And that's why you should be a president of an NFL team. Okay, what's your next comment? Because I'm done with that one.
You know what's even better about that? Is that he actually didn't pay full price for those franchises either. He traded off his name and his advertising.
I don't think he paid anything for them, Pete.
Yeah.
That's the smart businessman part right there.
Yeah. Wow. That's
we've had some really great calls tonight. One, that this is the worst show ever, which he might be correct after those calls. And two, that Peyton Manning's smart because he bought pizza joints in a weed-smoking state.
That's actually pretty smart, though.
Yep, let's go to the next
call.
Think
about it. We'll come back and go around the National
One more call.
Football League. Let's go cold.
Go cold, Cole. Let's
cold.
Pick one.
Go cold. Yeah, let's do that.
You're on the line. What's up? You're not on the line.
Try the next one. Try the next one.
Next, you're on the air. What's up?
I wanted to talk to the guys about the Jags franchise.
Okay, you're talking to us. You're talking to us. What's up?
Hey, how do you guys think the franchise cap is going to be looking for us within the next couple of years with the wide receivers playing the way they are? And then, of course, we're going to have Bortles. We're going to be having to do his new contract pretty soon also. So how do you guys see that playing out? Especially if Marquise Lee comes around and does anything within the next couple of years. All of those guys are going to be due contracts.
Yeah, that's the Marquise is the least of my worries right now. Blake, he's only a second-year player, so you have plenty of time there. And you have $80 million of cap room going into next year, and the cap's going to go up every year. So I think we're fine on cap space.
Yeah, and you know what? If you ever got to the point where both Robinson and Hearns were big-dollar guys, one goes and one stays.
Pretty much. And you know what? Allen Hearns, because he was an undrafted free agent, you can't touch any of the draft picks, I mean, by CBA rules. But if you wanted to extend Allen Hearns right now, you could, and I would. I'd get a discount because you're going to sign him early. He's still a young player. I'd lock him up right now.
You know what's amazing, Tony, is I was talking to somebody over there the other day, that their cap situation is fantastic. Look at the guys that are going to become unrestricted free agents. Half of them, they don't even want them back.
Yeah, no,
I
think
they're not going to extend Anger.
No,
I mean, he's a punter. He hasn't been that good anyway.
They have $80 million today. That doesn't mean – I think then they have some guys coming off the cap. I think it's going to be more cap room, Pete.
Well, but I mean, like Mercedes Lewis, see ya. Anger, see ya.
I'd bring back Mercedes Lewis for the right price. He's still blocking well, Pete.
Well, he wasn't. And he did.
Well,
he
is late.
Recently.
No, but he has the last four or five games. He's playing well. I'd bring him back at the right price. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I guess. You say Nick Jacobs can block.
Not as well as Mercedes.
Okay.
Young player, though, right? I mean,
yeah, I'm not saying I wouldn't get rid of Nick, but I'm telling you right now, what's the market going to be for an aging blocking tight end in the NFL, Pete?
Limited.
Okay, so why wouldn't you bring him back? He's your guy. You drafted him. He's a good team guy. He's good in the locker room. He plays his tail off. He's physical. Why wouldn't you bring him back?
Yeah, just make a rule that you never throw to him.
He might have the biggest catch in the Baltimore game. Don't forget that.
I know. Just make a rule you don't throw to him. That's the rule.
We'll come back and look around the National Football League, recap the games from this past weekend. Thanks for your calls tonight on the worst show on radio. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome
Welcome back to the HennaneeAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday. Rolling along, and we look around the National Football League.
Crazy weekend. Crazy weekend.
11. We'll start off a few games. We've got plenty of time tonight. The Lions got a win over the Raiders, 18-13.
That's not the one I'd have started with.
Yeah,
but
we'll get it out of the way. We'll get to the big ones later. How about that?
Okay, great. Okay.
Can I do this? Can I lead the show now? I forgot.
The Raiders have lost three in a row. I mean, the shine's off them a little bit, right, Pete? I mean,
yeah, they're done. They're about next year, anyways. They always were.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they had a nice little run where they were in the limelight, and that's fine. And they got a nice young quarterback in David Carr. He had a terrible week. Wasn't very good. You got Amari Cooper, a good player. Watching their tape, I watched who'd they play that I watched? Vikings. Defensively, they need to get better too. Max, a good player though.
Max, a good player. You know, when Alden Smith was there, he was solid. Woodson can still play.
Yeah, but how much longer is Woodson going to play?
Right, and the corners. Hayden's not bad. He's going to be a decent player, but yeah, they need better. They need more guys up front too.
Yeah. So, and Detroit is going to. They're blowing the coach out, right? Caldwell's gone.
I don't think so.
Really?
No, the wife, the Ford grandmother, or whatever the
mom.
Ford,
it's the mom.
Mom. She's very fond of Jim Caldwell.
Who is going to be the GM there?
Good question. They hired a president who has no ties to football, so it'll be interesting to see what they do.
What does your gut tell you? Your inside information, Pete Prisco.
Right now, no idea.
That's not like you not to have an opinion.
Yeah, I thought you had some sources.
Who would you hire? Who would you hire?
I'd give Terry McDonough a look.
Okay.
I think Terry's done a good job in Arizona.
Still with Arizona, that's right.
Now, a lot of people in Jacksonville will think Terry's awful, but I think Terry's done a good job in Arizona.
He had a couple bad, to his self-admitting, bad picks, but that's all right. Happens to all of us. Not me, but everyone else.
You don't make the picks. You make them in your mind.
Yeah, and I have yet to be wrong.
I was wrong, and people reminded me. I thought Christian Ponder would be better than Cam Newton. How about that one?
Huh? Yeah, that was a bad call by
That's
you.
That's not good.
Oh, awful. But I can admit it.
The Colts rallied to beat the Falcons. How bad was the Matt Ryan pick six to tie the game?
You know, there's some problems there, and one of them is Shanahan. And why I say that is because the Falcons used to be really good playing no huddle, and he just flat out refuses to use it. And his dad never used it, but don't you think you got to use that with Matt Ryan?
What happened though, Pete? Because they went from 6-0, right?
Or 5-0.
5-0. Dynamic, up and down. Devontae Freeman, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan. They're looking good. I always thought their defense was a little bit of smoke and mirrors because they can't rush the passer. But they were, you know, winning games. Now they're winning late, close games. And I remember talking to somebody that when they were 5-0, they could easily been 1-4. Play here, play there. But, I mean, what's happened?
Well, their line was playing well in the middle, and it's not anymore. That's part of the problem. I thought they overachieved in the middle. Remember, they went out and got Chester and what's his name? Levitre from Tennessee.
Yep.
And they weren't, and, you know, they moved the guard to center, and they overachieved in the middle. They're not very good there. That's starting to show up. There's no other weapon outside beside Julio Jones. Roddy White's done. And
he's complaining, and he's still done.
Right. And then defensively, like you said, they're not very good. But offensively, I think they're caught between an identity crisis. They don't know who they are. They ran the ball early with
Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, and you know, he's still a good little runner. But I think their whole thing is the identity has been Matt Ryan throwing it around and playing fast, and they don't want him to play fast.
Well, part of the problem is Devontae Freeman got hurt after three carries. He had three carries, 43 yards, and then got hurt with a concussion. That did not help him.
The other thing is – and this it angers me when Bortles does it or anybody quarterback in this league. I can't stand when a quarterback turns his back to the defense and play action. It drives me up a wall. And I'm talking about the snap throw after play action. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It
works pretty well for Brady.
Tom Brady. But he's Tom Brady, okay? There's a difference there. Because you know why? The decision-making is made before you turn your back around again. For Brady, he's going to make it. He's going to make the right decision. Matt Ryan, obviously made the wrong decision yesterday. And I think Blake a lot of times makes the wrong decision when he turns his back. He's much better facing the – I think Blake Bortles is much better facing the defense than he is at turning his back.
Well, Matt Ryan is not playing very well. He had another bad game this past weekend, three picks. He did have the three touchdowns. Only sacked one time. But you look at – I mean, they actually can – they held the Colts. The Colts didn't do anything offensively, really.
Colts had no business winning that game yesterday.
None.
Zero.
That pick six, really. That was it.
The Texans won their third straight game, 24-17.
All defense, baby. All defense. The defense is playing well. It was a mystery early. None of us could figure it out. Pete and you and I talked about it. I mean, they were awful early, and they're playing at a high level right now.
Well, one of the things they're doing, Tony, is the young guys are getting better. And McKinney, the linebacker, the rookie linebacker.
Yep, out of Mississippi State.
Yeah, starting to play well in the middle. Kevin Johnson's playing well on the corner. Clowney got a half a sack his first one yesterday. He was playing the run well. Now he's starting to rush the passer. And we know Watt's going to be really good. I mean, to me, that's the biggest difference. The young guys are getting better.
They still have no quarterback.
And the Hoyer's going to play next week.
It doesn't matter. I mean,
well, against New Orleans, it won't matter. I could play quarterback and throw for 330.
Yeah.
I mean, you give me Nuke Hopkins, I'll throw for 330 against them.
I mean, offensively, they were nothing special yesterday. Now, the Jets have a good defense. They only rushed for 3.3 yards a carry, only threw for 229. One of their touchdowns was on a trick play with Cecil Short. So, I mean, they manufactured some stuff, but it's all about the defense right now. I mean, their defense is playing really dang good.
99 was out of his mind again yesterday.
He's playing good football, Pete. I mean, he really is.
He's good.
Fraud.
He's really good.
He's a fraud.
Yeah, JP thinks he's a fraud, though.
Fraud.
You know, a lot of people do. I think that's a bunch of garbage, though.
Why do you think that? I mean, why do people think that? Are they jealous, Pete?
Yeah, and, you know, you see him a lot. When you see, it's the same thing with Peyton Manning was in his prime. Everybody
hated no one ever thought he was a fraud, though.
There's
some things that JJ does that just – they rub me the wrong way, but I'll take him on my team because he's a heck of a player.
Like what? Like going around the crowd before the game?
Yeah, it's just.
You think it's all for show?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make
the
judgment.
What? If it's all for show and he's cashing in on it, more power to him.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. Because I mean, to each his own. If that's how he gets ready, then let him go do it. I mean,
forget about that. Look at all the endorsements he gets from being that guy.
No, he's getting the endorsements because he's good, Pete, not because he's that
guy. There's been a lot of great players who've been good and haven't gotten any endorsements like that. He's getting.
Not in today's world. In today's world, he is done. You imagine if, you know, Reggie White and Bruce Smith and those guys, the way they played, because they play like J.J. Watt, played in this era with the media and the following, and it's 24/7. It wasn't like that before, Pete.
Yeah, but he has more endorsements than the average person, you got to admit, because he's around all the time. People know his face.
Well, they're good, though. They're going to be a contender down the stretch. It's going to be – I look forward to the final game in Houston. It's going to be a great matchup.
Jameis Winston, 5 touchdowns, blowout over the Eagles.
So interesting to me. First 3 games of the year, everyone said, oh, they should have picked Mariota. He's the better pro. I'm not saying you. The general consensus was, including my good friend Jeff Logman, who just reminded me constantly, oh, see, I told you Jameis is better. I mean, Mariota's better. Jameis is, you know – average. And I said it back in the draft. I said I would have taken Jameis first. I think – not that I don't think Mariota is a good quarterback, but Jameis is a gunslinger. He is a in-the-pocket, push-it-down-the-field, put-in-tight, you know, trust his big arm. I think he's a smart kid, and he's starting to play good football.
I always thought he was going to be the better of the two. I think they're both going to be really good. He loves the game. He works at it. You know, I got guys in that organization told me he works harder than who've been with Tom Brady. Say he worked harder than Tom Brady when he was a kid. That's work doesn't just do it. But you got, if you're a quarterback, you gotta live it. I mean, you know that, Tony. You have to live that position. It's not you know, do it 3 days a week. You got to do it all week, getting ready for a game. And he does that, and he's going to be really good. The other side of that game, though, come on, Eagles. Are you kidding me?
Wait. Chip Kelly's a genius, bro.
Right. I wrote that today. I said, we all expected Chip Kelly to bring a lot of offense to the NFL when he got there. Who knew it was going to be on the other team, from the other team? I mean, the bottom line is Chip Kelly's the general manager. Chip Kelly's responsible for what goes on defense. He went out and he handpicked Byron Maxwell, paid him a number one corner, and I had at least 3 or 4 GMs told me that there's no way Byron Maxwell's a number one corner, and he isn't. He went out and traded and got Kiko Alonso. You know, he got dinged up, but he's healthy again. He's not playing, barely playing. I mean, the bottom line is,
Here's the thing he did. He got rid of DeSean Jackson, big play guy. Got rid of Jeremy Maclin, leading the Chiefs in receptions, and got rid of Shady McCoy, who is the perfect air back for the system he wants to run.
Yeah, he never thought he was, which is crazy.
Well, and that's why Chip Kelly will be coaching in college next year.
Yeah, he's scouting out real estate in Baton Rouge, maybe.
He was going to revolutionize the NFL game.
Remember that? And how people practice and these juices and these shakes and these sleeping patterns and all this nonsense. And I said it back then, it's like, it's amazing. We all play just fine when we were stuffing our faces with McDonald's every day. And I'm not saying nutrition is not important. I don't live it, but it's
important
for most people. I think this league humbles you. When you're called a genius, you get humbled, especially if you think you're a genius. They're not playing very well. How about this, though, Pete? I said this to JP and Joe today. You think DeMarco Murray's thinking twice that maybe he should take in the money and come to Jacksonville?
Maybe, yeah.
You think? In a system, eye back, single back, 7.5 yards deep, zone, power football, what you did in Dallas. Instead, you go to a system that doesn't fit you, that's horizontal, that's going to get blown up. I guarantee you, give him truth serum, he'd come to Jacksonville right now.
Yeah, you're probably right. He would. I didn't even think about that. I forgot about that. But, and I'm going to say this, though. Best thing is that he didn't.
I think he still drafted T.J. Yeldon if he did.
They still need to get another running back.
That's what I'm saying. I think you would have drafted T.J. Yeldon even if you had him.
Nah, not in that spot you wouldn't, Tony. You would have waited. I mean, look at the guy Rawls from Seattle yesterday. They pick him up off the scrap heap. He goes for over 200. Look at the
Where's
kid
he from?
Western Michigan. What about the kid Charcan? He was undrafted. What about
Charcan? He got hurt. Hurt his hamstring, Pete. I don't know if you paid attention yesterday.
I know he did, but the previous games he was running all over the place. I mean, these guys, they find them anywhere. You know, don't draft them high.
Don't draft Todd Gurley because he's not very good?
Well, we'll see in 4 years from now.
So you wouldn't have drafted Todd Gurley?
Hell no. Hell no.
Not that high, apparently.
We're back. Because you know why?
Nowhere.
They got a running back and they got a fierce defense. What are they getting for it? Nothing.
Well, it's because they don't have a quarterback, Pete.
Obviously. No, I would not have taken Todd Gurley there.
But playing great defense and running the ball did win Seattle a Super Bowl.
Accidents happen.
Has this? How much?
And it was by the way, it was arguably one of the great defenses. No, it was not. I'm not arguably. It was one of the great defenses of all time.
Oh, we gotta go to the break. When we come back, I want to ask you about Russell Wilson and has the shine come off?
Got the Seahawks. We've got Tony Romo. Joe.
We got
Flacco.
The Bengals last night, and that was a great game.
What a great football game.
A lot of quarterback talk coming
Tony's
up.
Tony's game. We can talk about Tony's game.
Yeah, the Packers and the Vikings.
I'll give you a breakdown. I was there. I watched it firsthand.
More NFL headlines coming back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday, final few moments. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and Pete Prisco. We continue our look around the National Football League. We'll start off with the Russell Wilson talk that you had mentioned there, Tony, and the Seahawks.
Pete, what's going on with them? No, they're not back. They played a terrible football team.
And you know what? Here's the thing. They play the Steelers this week. They've had, and I'm doing something this week on them, they've had a big problems with quarterbacks, good quarterbacks. You know, they played four good quarterbacks this year, and they've lost to all of them. And they're not playing that well on defense, even though they you know, Blaine Gabbert had a passer rating of 93 yesterday. It wasn't like he was awful. And the other side is the offensive line stinks. Russell Wilson doesn't allow plays to develop. And there's been some talk that, you know, he's not as dedicated to the game as he was.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to ask you, Pete, because I heard that report. And, I mean, there are people coming out and owning it. People that inside the organization aren't owning it because they're not putting their name on it, but they're saying that he's not dedicated like he has been in the past. I mean, any truth to that? I mean, have you heard any more about that?
I mean, I've heard that over the course of this year. But the other thing, you know, because he's with the rock star or whatever. But you heard that about Rodgers last week, too, which was stupid. But the other thing, too, this is, Tony, you saw little things creeping out last week that he's leaving plays on the field. Pete Carroll said that a couple times and hinted that he's not playing up to expectations. didn't say that stuff, but you could read between the lines. They're not happy with the way he's playing. I don't think there's and he's not been awful. It's just that he hadn't been great. And, he was better yesterday, but San Francisco's not very good. We'll see this week. They got Pittsburgh coming into that place.
Joe Flacco is done for the season. The Ravens are done anyway, but they're losing guys left and right. Flacco's done. Forsett's done. The Ravens got off the mat and beat the Rams. What do you got on the Rams the rest of the way?
Is Fisher getting fired?
No. And he's going to use the quarterback as an excuse.
That guy has nine lives.
He does. Every time he looks like he's going to get booted, then he ends up staying there. Remember, they looked like they were making a push a couple weeks ago, and then it went bad. But he's had a lot of injuries, and I think he'll be able to hide from underneath that.
I got one for you, Pete. The Bears were down 8 early in the fourth quarter. Instead of kicking the field goal to make it a 5-point game, they went for it. They didn't get it.
When they went for it, where were they? Because I didn't see it. I heard it
on the four yard line. It's fourth and goal from the 4.
Oh, you got to kick that.
Or the 2? Was it fourth and goal from the 2?
Either way, you got to kick it.
Of course you do. There was ten minutes left in the game, Tony.
That's a terrible call.
Of course, they score the touchdown late. They're stopped on the 2-point try that they had to have. Are the Broncos in good shape with Osweiler? We talked about this briefly earlier.
Well, it's hard to say, based on that game. For me personally, I got to
turn it over.
He didn't turn it over, but he also took it 5 sacks and he held the ball.
Wait a second. If that's the standard we're now putting on quarterbacks, he didn't turn it over?
That's the standard for a lot of people now, Tony.
Yeah.
I heard somebody saying, managing the game is not a bad thing. Yes, it is. It is. If they're calling you a game manager, that means you're not you're not playing real quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, let's move on.
Tony Romo is a real quarterback. He's back. They won again. Can the Cowboys do this?
No, they will not. They're not going to win the division.
No, but how about this week, though? They play home against
Carolina,
and they're actually favored.
Oh, and Ron Rivera is not happy. Riverboat Ron is not happy.
But I mean, the line is set for people to bet the game.
I know, but coaches were disrespectful.
Oh yeah, they're going to use that. He's going to use that all week. Look, good guys, nobody believes in us. You got to believe in yourself.
Yeah, oh yeah, it'd be great. Good stuff. But they're going to beat the Cowboys.
No, the Cowboys are going to win that game.
How do you figure?
The Cowboys' defense is starting to play better with Greg Hardy. For all the crap that he brings, and there's a lot of it, he's a hell of a football player.
Jerry says he's gonna rehab him.
Yeah, okay. There's no rehab in that. He wouldn't be on my team. I don't care how good he is.
Nope, I wouldn't want him on my team either.
The Packers are back in first. Big win over the Vikes.
Yeah, I was obviously I've said it 5 times now. I give the Packers a lot of credit. Watching that tape, I've heard so much of people critical of Aaron Rodgers, critical of the offensive line, and, a lot of blame going around. Here's what's happening watching them live and watching the tape. I think the offensive line's playing fine. Their backs were not hitting the holes. Eddie Lacy was way overweight. They've sat him out. They basically said get in shape. Him and James Starks finally started hitting with some definitive decision-making, hitting the holes, because they were terrible against Detroit the week before. There was holes there to be had, and they couldn't hit it.
I agree. Like
they were running blind. The receivers get zero separation. Zero.
Tony, I did a whole thing on them last week. I broke
them
down.
Aaron Rodgers is not the same. I don't know if his shoulder's bottom of the peep, but he played well, but he wasn't great. He missed some throws that Aaron Rodgers does not miss.
Yeah, and I broke them down last week, and you mentioned here's another thing they do, Tony. They run a ton of ISO routes. They need to get more creative with their routes.
Yeah, because they can't win one-on-one.
Right. They don't win. And I know that's not what their offense is, but there were instances like last week. I'm sure if you watch the tape, they got Aberderis open on a pick play when he came around the side.
Right.
And early in the season, they got Montgomery open on a pick play inside. They got to get more creative with their routes. They don't win outside. You talk about the offensive line. I think the interior three are fine. Bakhtiari's had a rough go of it this year. He hasn't been as good.
I thought Bakhtiari played good against Detroit. He struggled a little bit yesterday against Everson Griffin, who's a very good player. But they're not the problem, Pete.
No, the problem is the receivers don't win.
That's
the problem.
No, and Devontae Adams, for all the hype, he does not win.
They don't win.
And Cobb dropped a big ball yesterday. Aaron missed a couple now. He missed a touchdown that he usually hits. Now, he threw some great ones as well. What's interesting about watching Aaron Rodgers, Pete? And I guess I've known this. He escapes the pocket when he doesn't have to a lot.
Yes.
I think he does it on purpose because he likes getting the coverage to move and break the coverage down and allow his guys scramble rules. And James Jones catches more balls. Most of James Jones' catches are on scramble rule, you know, running away, running back, whatever it is. But you watch Aaron Rodgers, he'll break contain when he doesn't have to, and I think it's purposeful to break down the coverage.
Yeah, he's good on it once he breaks the contain, but you're right, he does leave some pockets. The other thing is, that was one of those statement games. Hey, guys, you're our little brother still in the division.
Yes, it was.
Think otherwise.
Held AP at 45 yards. Mistake by Norv Turner, only rushing him 13 times, though.
They played good up front yesterday, though.
They did.
Packers. Dayton Jones had a good game.
Very good.
Statement win for the Cardinals, too. Comeback win over the Bengals.
Best team in the NFC.
I agree. And that looked like a playoff game last night.
Well-played game, too. I didn't like how it ended. I don't like that penalty, but.
No, that penalty was bad. But
they're lucky they called it because it would have been a 10-second runoff otherwise.
Right. What did you think of the touchdown? Did you think he got in the pylon over there, A.J. Green?
No. It was.
I didn't either. I thought he was out.
He was out.
But that, to me, is what you see when you get two good, deep, talented football teams that know how to play offensive football. You're going to get one of those games.
Well, and here's the thing. I don't want to hear people take shots at Andy Dalton. Dalton did not lose that game.
No.
He scored 31 points. My goodness.
He played well.
Yes.
He played well. See, those two teams, to me, are going to be there at the end. They're going to be – both of them are going to be around. I don't know if they're going to win it, but they're both going to be there in the close to the championship game or beyond.
I think they'll both be in the championship games.
Monday Night Football, who you got quickly, the Bills or the Pats?
I got the Bills.
Pats.
I got the Bills.
Tony's out of his mind.
I got the Bills.
You're out of your mind.
That offensive line's going to get exposed.
Make a guarantee. Say you're not going to eat pizza for a month if they win.
No, I can't do that.
Okay.
There you have it. Happy Thanksgiving, Pete. We'll talk to you.
Same to you guys. Don't eat too much.
Pete, I'll eat a lot. Talk to you soon.
We will.
That's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.